This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman. You're listening to the Nerdcast on ProjectNerd.com.
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
I knew it. I knew you were bluffing. I knew he was bluffing.
You're listening to the Nerdcast.
I feel like I should say something smart.
With Adam, Bob, Iggy, and Tyler.
You mustn't be afraid to dream a little bigger, darling.
Only on Project Nerd.
That is one big pile of shit.
The Barbarian.
Okay. The new movie or the old movie or...
The old movie.
The old movie? Okay. I was just asking.
Arnold and James Earl Jones. Did you guys know that movie was written by Oliver Stone?
Yep.
I did not, actually. I did not. But you know what? Who now knows? The Nerdcast audience knows, because we are here for episode 191 of Project Nerds, or the Nerdcast by Project Nerd, excuse me. We are brought to you this week by Ocon Expo over in Omaha Council Bluffs, June 28th, 29th, and 30th this year. Head on over to OconExpo.com to pick up your tickets. And guys, it's Adam, Tyler, and myself. Bob's a working man lately. He's busy. He's busy, busy, busy. So how you gentlemen?
You think he listens to Rush while he's a working man?
Probably. I thought you were going to say, do you think he listens to us? And I'm like, no. No, he doesn't.
I know he doesn't listen to us.
None of y'all listen to us.
Do you think he listens to Rush? Because
I don't know
why they call him the working man.
Only if his Netflix isn't working.
Up, right?
I'm picking it up, but
I was with you. I don't think he was with you at the start when he got there.
Well, because I thought he was going to say so. Anyways, so it is a big weekend, big weekend. I will go ahead and put the disclaimer here. By the time this airs, you know, Avengers will be out there. I'm letting you know we're recording Tuesday night. So no, Adam, Tyler, or myself have not seen Avengers Endgame at the time of recording. So anything we say about the movie is total assumption. So basically, there are no spoilers here for Avengers. And there are no spoilers at least for episode 3 and on for Game of Thrones. Because episode 2, it was not a whole lot going on again, but we definitely said, here it is. It's coming. Like, it all starts next week, really. So
a lot of things have happened in that show. I don't know
they
why
have.
People keep saying that a lot of, like, nothing's not happening. And, like, so many things have happened. You
okay.
Weirdos.
Not a lot of action. Like, I'm ready for the fight to start, and it's going to start.
Well, there was some action. Not that kind of action.
Not that
there was
kind
war,
of action.
But there was some action. It's Game of Thrones. Come on, people.
All right, so
there was a lot of people sealing their death because good and beautiful things happened to them. So they're
right. Yeah, they're done. So what night, what day are we seeing Avengers, guys? When do you have your tickets?
I'm in a 9 p.m. showing Thursday.
I'm going to probably see it Saturday and Sunday.
Or one of those like IMAX or one of those just...
No, I was trying to get all my friends together to go see it, and no one would commit to a time, so I finally just bought a ticket for myself, and then we're all going to go see it on Sunday.
Oh, okay. That's fair. Yeah, I won't be seeing it till Sunday. So I'm going to go see it at Sunday, come home, and then watch Game of Thrones while eating dinner. So it's going to be a like almost 5 straight hours of just total depression right there. I know you're giving me a look.
What is wrong with you, weirdo?
I'm out of town this weekend. You know that. So I'm out of town. I come back Sunday afternoon.
They're going to have movie theaters there.
No, well, actually, I don't know if they do, but I'm up in the mountains. I'm not like, so you could. Many theaters have had to open for 2 a.m. and 4 a.m. showings is what they're showing as well. So you get your midnight slot, your 2 a.m. slots, and your 4 a.m. slots. So, yeah, some theaters open 24 hours from starting on Thursday through the end of the weekend in order to accommodate as many people who want to see Endgame. This number comes.
Are we? Are we gonna take a pick? I guess on the numbers.
We got to. Like, but it's gonna be so outrageous. Like, there's nothing logical to choose here.
What's the highest? Do we know? Does anybody? And Bob's not here. Bob's our guy. He knows the answer to this question. Does anybody know the highest opening weekend for a movie in the United States?
Yeah, we can pull that up.
Yes, and it's Infinity War. And it was $257 million domestic.
That's just domestic.
Right.
This is going to...
And what we've heard, the rumors on pre-sales being, what, 3 times higher than Infinity Wars?
Yeah. And opening weekend worldwide was also Infinity War at $640 million. Although it didn't make the most money just foreign box office opening weekend, but most worldwide and most domestic.
Right.
So also remember, on the first day tickets became available for order, Fandango, AMC, and I want to say Cinemark, it was at least in one other one's apps, all crashed and their sites went down because they couldn't accommodate how many people were trying to get online and buy tickets. People were rushing to eBay.
So slow.
Yeah. So, and people were moving to eBay to sell them, and people were paying ridiculous amounts to get those tickets instead of waiting to see what other times would pop up. I don't even know why there's another, like, I feel like Thursday during the day, you keep Captain Marvel in the theater. But other than that, like, why does any cinema have any other movie that weekend?
Oh, I mean, like my AMC, I mean, obviously their AMC apps, like you said, and Fandango were a crapshoot. But since the initial weekend, like my AMC is now showing it. I don't even know.
So early April, when the pre-sales were still happening before they added all these additional showtimes and everything, the pre-sale estimate was 200 to 250 million is what I'm seeing right now. So that was April 4th is the date of this article that I am looking at. April 4th, yes, The Wrap claimed $200 to $250 million domestically.
In pre-sale?
In pre-sales.
So, I mean, it's going to double that on the weekend. Because, I mean, you got to figure that's...
I don't know. So what's our over-under? What's our over-under guess here?
I think 250 is minimum. Like, less than 250.
Right. I mean, if it pre-sold 250, we know it's going to get 250 because that cash is in the bank already.
Well, the pre-sale numbers are still kind of all over the place because I think at this point, you know, each theater doesn't know the other theater company's ones, and Disney can choose not to fully disclose that or whatever. So it's the numbers are showing anywhere from the mid 100 millions to the two up to 250. So yeah, again, I agree. I think we're all on the same page that 250 is easy hit. Are we going to break 500 million domestically on an opening weekend? That's the crazy question.
No. I don't think it's going to get
500.
Yeah. Let's ask.
No.
Let's
go.
I think 400 would be the crazy.
Okay. Number. So now that, well, that was going to be, I was going to keep going down until we got to a point. So 400, I won't even do 450
I think,
then.
I think 300 would be shocking. Like, I think it's going to do it, but like, you got to understand, like, all time forever in the last 7 years, one movie has made more than $250 million.
Right.
Weekend.
Right. So we're going, so, okay, so no 400. Adam, you kind of mentioned before, you're still not comfortable there?
I'm gambling big? I think I'm comfortable at four.
Okay.
I mean, that's a number that I think it leaves something to the imagination. I think 300, I think we're crushing 300. 350 is going to be a number that's going to be so close.
That's the question there. So,
and then I think 400's within grasp.
So what are, okay. So then let's make 350 our over under, guys. Over under 350. What's your play here?
I think it's
over. I'm going to go under.
Under, and Adam's over.
I think I'm over because the initial reactions have been exceedingly positive.
I mean, the reviews have been really good.
How many double viewings do you get this weekend? A lot. I think you get a lot of double viewings this weekend.
I'm slow to say that this movie will make over $100 million more in its opening weekend than any movie has ever done ever before.
It's hard. It's hard to say that. And I think also the 3-hour runtime doesn't help as much as maybe the repeat viewings as we're thinking could possibly be. Because you also could do more screening times if it wasn't 3 hours, right? Like, you can get it in quicker again.
So, but I mean, it's not like Infinity War was an hour and a half, guys. I mean, they didn't double up the number of showings for Infinity War. That was an hour and 37 minutes or something.
I mean, basically, you're going to say
37 minutes.
You're still saying, though, that this movie, even taking Infinity War out of it, this movie will make, in its opening 3 days or 4 days, technically, it will make more than $105 million more than The Force Awakens made in its opening weekend.
Well, let's also see where none of us are playing it very well now. And I know, listeners, that you guys have given us feedback that these are not your most exciting, our most exciting podcast when we're sitting here just guessing box office. Okay, so the numbers that Fantasy Movie League has is Friday cost $529 million. So if you're picking Friday, you're spending over half your box office budget in Fantasy Movie League. Saturday is 386, Sunday 320. So you can't obviously pick all 3 days. You can't pick Friday and one of the other days and really hardly put anything else in your box office on Fantasy Movie League. I may have to play this week, by the way, because now I'm interested to see what happens here. But yeah, those are big, big numbers. Those are crazy big numbers in terms. And again, Fantasy Movie League, that's the money your fun money that you have to put towards filling your 8 screens. So it's not actually what they're estimating it will make, clearly. I don't know, 350. Okay.
I'm still sticking.
Tyler's under, Adam's over. I'm going to go big with it. Let's do it. Let's say over. I'm going to say barely over. I'm going to be like 351. It's going to be something like that.
351, Bob.
351, Bob. And then, I mean, we'll make it a little easier for worldwide, 750. We're going over. I mean, because what did you say again was Infinity War for worldwide opening?
Was 670
or something like that?
For worldwide all time, it was Infinity War at 640.
640, okay. Ooh, so 750 over-under for worldwide this weekend.
Oh, it'll be over.
Over? Okay.
Yeah, over for sure.
I'm still not going to hit over 350 domestically. It might make close to a billion worldwide this opening weekend.
Okay. All right. We got some big numbers here we're talking. Okay, we'll move on from box office estimates. As always, if you have a guess, we want to hear it in the comments. We want to see how close you can get. In fact, if you are able to hit it on the head, you have to guess, obviously, by Saturday, first thing Saturday morning. If you're able to hit it on the head, I'll send you something for free, too. So check it out anywhere you can find us where our comments are available. But Avengers Endgames, I really don't know. Like, we have so much we could talk about. We could guess who's going to be dead, who's going to be left in time, but I really don't want to go all that route because, one, everybody already has their own guesses. Like, all the friend community, if you're listening to a podcast called the Nerdcast, you've already had this conversation with at least one of your friends, so you already have your own theories, and two, it can get pretty boring if we just start going down the theory road. So I'm just excited to say that it's going to be interesting to see. I know for sure we'll see Captain America, Iron Man, and Thor wrap here for the Marvel Universe. Of course, Chris Hemsworth is not renewing, but he's still not against showing up again as Thor. So there could be cameos in the future Hemsworth while, as terms for Chris Evans and Robert Downey Jr. This is it. They're done. They're pretty much done. And I think you have some good options here for their endings, but it's going to be weird seeing a future movie without these guys in them.
Yeah, but like you said, Cap's got, he's got buddies in the wings who can take over that they've already introduced. Numerous people have worn the Iron Man suit. I mean, you got Riri Williams now in the comic wearing it, right?
Yeah, and you have Ironheart. Yeah, so you got her ready to go, or you got an Ironheart, not her, but you have an Ironheart ready to go in the universe. And like you said, either Falcon or Winter Soldier could take on the arm for Captain America because both have in the comics. Mm-hmm.
And if we're getting a full retcon, I mean, maybe they go full what if. What if we end up with Peggy Carter?
Well, we're getting that for their animated series, right, on their show. You know,
they're not going to steal that for the...
I don't. And because of my theory of what happens to Captain America. So that's why I don't think it will happen. So I keep dancing along this
line. I thought we weren't going down
there. I'm not going. I'm not saying it. That's why I said I just keep dancing along this line.
You just keep referencing them, and then people are like, well, what the fuck is his theory? He's going to keep referencing it. Goddamn theory is already.
So we have a variety of characters. It's cool because you're going to have Brie Larson, obviously Captain Marvel, in the mix now. And for the purple carpet, not the red carpet premiere of the Avengers on Monday, the 22nd, they had both both Scarlett Johansson and Brie Larson wearing jewelry that kind of mimic the Infinity Gauntlet. So super interesting. You haven't seen those pictures yet?
Not even just kind of mimicked. I mean, Brie's kind of mimicked, but Scarlett Johansson's was a ring on every finger and the stone on the back of the palm. Like, I mean,
well, Brie's stone was just a bracelet.
Right. Hers wasn't a bracelet, but ScarJo's was, I mean, finger on a ring on each hand, and then that big stone on the back of her hand. It's like, oh, okay. And she just held it up like, yep, this is what I got on right now.
I love it. I love it too. Cause I feel like so many of these characters, even the ones we just referenced leaving, they have totally embraced this has been their world for how many years, even, you know, Brie Larson's newer to it for sure, but it's still been how many years? There was 2-3 years ago when we knew she was going to become Captain Marvel. Like, it's, this has been a better part of their career for a while, and they've all embraced it great. And it's fantastic to see them at the purple carpet. We had some friends out there actually that were some obviously cosplayers had to be out behind that line in their costumes and everything, of course. So that's for sure. But yeah, purple carpet premiere. You can check out the pictures online. I don't think we ended up getting them on Project Nerd. I don't know what the article was. Hold on. Jeremy for Project Nerd said he had an article prep, so we'll have it live before it happens here. And it is an article for Avengers Endgame. But his description to us was he wrote a piece of preparing for it like he would be an athlete getting ready to play the big game, like a Super Bowl or something like that. And so I'm interested to go read it myself. So I'll have to check it out for sure.
Well, I mean, 3-hour runtime, you can't just walk into a 3-hour runtime. Like, I mean, it's a marathon. People don't just show up in Boston like, hey, I heard you guys are doing this weird race thing. Can I jump in? Like, no, I've never run before in my life. Actually, I'm new to this. Same thing with a 3-hour runtime. I mean, you got to be committed because you're going to get the big soda. You're going to get the big popcorn. You can't get the big soda and the big popcorn and not have prepared to not go to the bathroom for 3 hours.
Right. Like, so I'm not drinking. So like I've been training for years of being a cheap ass bastard by not buying concessions when I go to movies to prepare for this one. Cause you're going to buy the soda.
You got to stand in line for an hour so you get a good seat. So you need the big
reserve seat.
First of all, what are you doing going to theaters that reserve seating these days?
Well, I mean, I live in a small town in Arkansas. We have one screen that's got reserve seating, and was basically impossible to get to on the day that it was selling because my app wasn't working. I had problems. So I
imagine those apps being down.
Regular seat. So I'm going to be in line for a while. So that's going to be a big soda and a big popcorn. At least once while I'm in line, maybe twice because I'm going with a couple people. So I'm not ruling anything out.
You're going to have to go to the restroom like 10 times in that movie.
No, sir.
I don't. So already when I take my kids to a movie, it's funny because my 8-year-old, she sits through these 2.5-hour Avengers movies, these 2+ hour Captain Marvel movies just fine. My 14-year-old already goes like twice. Like he has to get up and go twice. Not my weekend to have the kids. So I told them, you better talk to mom and tell her to get you out to the theater because 3 hours.
You guys need to figure this out. I can 100% say with certainty I've never gotten up and gone to the bathroom during a movie that I haven't already seen once, at least once before.
Right.
You gotta lock in.
It's just like if you're road tripping it, man. You're like, or you brought up the marathon. Or you could buy, you know, marathon runners have those special shorts to just like piss in. Maybe you just go get a pair of those, Adam.
No, I just don't go to the bathroom, Iggy. I've done this. I've taken multiple trips across this country and been to times where like a couple times with my dad, who I love him, has to go to the bathroom all the time. And so I would not go just to like needle him a little bit like, oh, you need to go to the bathroom? No, Dad, I'm good. I'll wait till the next time. And so, I mean, I've got practice. I can 3 hours, no problem.
Yeah. My kids were taught the same thing on road trips. You get 8-hour trip back to see grandma and grandpa. You get one stop at the 4-hour mark. We'll put gas in the car, get some food, and you can go to the restroom. Other than that, you better be ready. So you have multiple reasons to purposely dehydrate yourself, especially for me who's seeing it on Sunday, because then I'm going to follow it up with Game of Thrones and I'm going to be watching it with people. I don't want to cry in front of people at Game of Thrones. So purposely dehydrate myself for Avengers and then just roll into Game of Thrones with no liquid in my body. And then just after it's all done, hit up the hospital for an IV. That's the strategy.
That's a really, really terrible plan.
anything that ends with and then hit up the hospital for an IV, it better have a better story than I didn't want to have to go to the bathroom during Avengers and cry during Game of Thrones.
I don't know. I feel like it's a pretty solid story. So why are you, so what brings you to the hospital tonight? I'm definitely dehydrated. Is there any reason to it? You've been sick, thrown up? No, I went to Avengers and then watched Game of Thrones episode 3. Okay, go over there, that group. There's another 10 of you. Right.
We got another one.
We put the IV in the middle and just have needles coming out of it from all directions. We got you all hooked up to one there. So, okay, so Avengers, Game of Thrones, we've talked money, we've talked stuff like that. Again, we won't go too much into Game of Thrones because the internet is having a hissy fit right now about spoilers, and we will respect that, but you'd be ready soon because a lot of shit's about to go down and it's going to be hard for us to get together every week and not say anything about it. So just be warned. This is your spoiler warning for episodes to come. I don't know. Maybe we'll do a movie night specifically on the Avengers next week so we can get all our spoilers and talking about out there. We'll see.
I mean, we probably need to.
Usually I'm pretty like liberal about the whole spoil thing. Like, yeah, I'll give you some time to see the thing and I get it. Like, I feel like there's usually a statute of limitations. So eventually it's like, yeah, if you haven't seen it yet, but at the same time, like with something like this, like if you're someone who's going to get that, if you're that invested, you're going to get that upset about having it spoiled for you. It's been a decade. It's been 8 seasons, 10 years. There's only 6 episodes. Make some fucking time and watch the goddamn episode if you're going to get that worked up about the spoilers.
I thought you were going to go that way with Endgame as well, which has also been like 10 years and you've had a long time to prepare for it.
An actual movie in a theater, that's a little bit different because that requires significantly more money and time and like planning and stuff like that. Yeah, just figure it out with the HBO.
Figure it out.
The Game of Thrones.
To be fair. So, perfect. Yeah, big things happening there. Also in the geek world this week, we saw the final trailer is what they're calling it for, Godzilla King of Monsters, which brings each trailer gets better. I know, Adam, you don't watch trailers. I've turned to your method and appreciate it, but I still was, whatever, I was probably going to see this, but I was still kind of on the fence about how I felt about it. And the trailers do just keep getting better. So we do have that. Stranger Things dropped 13 stills for season 3. So we got some images out there floating around for Stranger Things, of course. And then obviously what's really important is Project Nerd's got those interviews coming back out. So you got some more of those interviews coming from Planet Comic Con and Front Range Film Festival hitting back up to the site. Yours truly doing a great interview today. Obviously, well, today of recording. Well, don't give me that look, Adam. It was fantastic. Home run. We just spelt my name wrong in the video. Like the person who edited it. Yeah. All right. It's not like I'm very involved in the brand or anything. So a lot of other things happening. It is a huge, 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 like it's everything's just going on right now. I mean, we ran out of time last week talking about stuff because so much was going on. Since then, the meme that I'm seeing over and over again to an annoyance level almost is that the this year that like everything's coming to an end with Game of Thrones coming to an end, you know, Marvel wrapping up the, what was it, 22 movies across 10 years to tell the final of the story, and then Star Wars wrapping up the, you know, saga through episode
Skywalker 9.
Saga,
yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be, I don't know, it's going to be a little rough. Maybe that dehydration idea isn't so bad after all, huh, Adam?
Just cry like a real person, you weirdo. It's not a big deal. If you're emotional about it, just be, it's okay.
I do cry at movies and I own it typically. I'm happy about it, but
good.
I just want to make some jokes here. mainly because we didn't put together a list of stuff for today. So I'm kind of just rambling on right now.
It's hardly noticeable. Don't worry about that.
Oh, is that packed? So Adam, you beat Tyler to it. It's like, yeah, I can mute myself again because he got me. He beat me to it. So, all right, gentlemen, what else is going on in the geek world right now that you guys want to share? Put you on the spot for calling me out on the
round. I mean, I don't know. What else do you want to?
That's a big question.
Want to talk about? Joss Whedon's about to have a new TV show. The reason Tom Holland hasn't been at the premiere is because the movie he's in apparently is unwatchable.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. We were discussing that beforehand because that's significant. So Lionsgate, new franchise.
So Lionsgate, if you guys aren't aware, has been working with a movie called, what do you call it? Chaos Walking, which is an adaptation of Patrick Ness's book trilogy, which is supposed to be, I mean, it's definitely Lionsgate trying to make a next, what do you, the Hunger Games, you know, young adult dystopian sci-fi thriller thing. And it had been filming for quite a while. The budget had already spent like over $100 million. Doug Liman from like Edge of Tomorrow was the director. And apparently they are in the middle of extensive, super expensive reshoots because the cut that was shown to various people at Lionsgate was, for lack of a better term, quote unquote, unreleasable, just real, real bad. So, wow.
And there's some awful movies that get released. So that's a, like, that's a thing.
I feel like Lionsgate has released some of them. And,
yeah, I know for sure. So, all the studios have. And so, I mean, for a studio to be like, yeah, we're not doing that, as opposed to just cutting the marketing budget, because that's usually what you see is like that marketing budget goes to zero and all of a sudden you're like, this movie's going to be bad. But
also at this point, they've apparently had Ness, the Patrick Ness himself has walked in to help with the script alongside six other screenwriters, which could tell you what kind of trouble they're in at this point. To be fair, like the book is really weird and super too high concept to be working as a movie. I don't understand it, but they got Tom Holland and they got Daisy Ridley to be the stars of it. So I feel like they're gonna find a way to fucking.
Oh my God. Out, you know? Well, and I mean, if you're those two, you gotta be like, I mean, how are they not filming that? And those two being like, what have we done?
Well, how's Tom Holland not spoiled it already is the real question.
Well, the two of them are still getting paid. And even if this movie is real bad, they'll continue being, you know, Ray and Spider-Man. So I think they're fine. Right,
exactly. That's what I mean, though. But I mean, that's what they're stacking this acting experience up against, right? Like, oh, what's your other job? It's not like my other job is I used to work at the Sonic and now I'm doing this. So this is fantastic. No, my other job is I'm on Star Wars. And I'm Spider-Man.
I think you also have to, I think they probably also know that's like, well, this isn't a Marvel movie. Maybe all other movies that aren't Marvel movies and or Star Wars movies are just as bad. I don't know.
Oh, they're spoiled forever.
Yeah, it's like, oh, this is what it's like to not, no, it's not what it's like to not work on your franchise. Just trust me. You can still take other jobs. Just, yeah. So total disaster over there at Lionsgate, as you said, if every executive's like saying words unreleasable and more important. Yeah. I wonder, is that doubling the budget
for reshoots? That's not good.
Well, that's already, yeah, in the first place, but let alone to the level that it is right now. And wait, so seven total writers now have been involved in the process?
Well, seven have come on board. Like since the reshoots, I don't know how many there were.
Seven new writers. No, yeah. Seven new. Good night.
Too many cooks.
But this is gonna be. This movie might be so bad that it'll be worth it, though. That's what Lionsgate needs to do here. Is spin it to where it's like, look, this is so horrendous, you're gonna love it. Like, just go with it.
Just steer into it. Yep.
Right.
You're already sliding. You're already sliding on the ice. You might as well just steer into that skid.
I feel like that was kind of Lionsgate's thing for a while, like early on. I feel like early on Lionsgate's films were very like, yeah, whatever.
We need to possessive Lionsgate a few more times because that's giving all of us trouble.
For some reason.
Well, so the name of the studio is Lionsgate.
Right. I know. Lionsgate's. Yeah, it's just...
Or Lionsgate Films is... There you go.
Oh, no. That's better. There we go.
But I don't know. They want to cash in on... I mean, they made The Hunger Games. They made The Divergence.
Did they make The Maze Runners?
Twilights. I don't think they made The Maze Runners.
I'm pretty sure they made The Maze Runner ones.
The Maze Runner ones are real bad.
Books after the first one are real pretty bad.
So maybe they... did faithful adaptations, because after that first movie, they're real bad. And that's another one that has, so it's got Littlefinger. I can't think of the guy who plays Littlefinger, whatever is the actor's name.
We got you. We know who Littlefinger is.
And he's in like second, third, and fourth ones. And I think the fourth one went straight to video. I don't remember it actually releasing in the theaters. Oh, man.
Didn't the third Divergent also not make it to theaters?
I didn't know they actually made it. The third.
I feel like they made it, and I don't think they'd ever like. So I think a lot of the actors like kicked it to the like jump ship, and they maybe just done it.
Divergent, Allegiant, and what was the freaking third one? I can't remember.
Exactly. That's the
problem. Also not great. Also not great books, but.
So moving on from those obviously very well received and fantastic film franchises based off of also fantastic book series. Actually, big news that dropped today of recording. So Tuesday, Leonardo DiCaprio in talks to star in Guillermo del Toro's Nightmare Alley movie. So,
yep, on board. Don't care. Right? Don't need to hear anything else about it.
I don't even need to click in the article or read the description. What's going on? You get just one of them is pretty good selling. But then you're going to put DiCaprio in the lead for a del Toro film. Totally odd. Like totally on for this. And on top of that, the fact that it's called Nightmare Alley. So that lends to whichever direction we want to go to, whether it's supernatural, whether it's, you know, in the mind, however it is, gives Del Toro a lot of room to play if you have a title like Nightmare Alley.
Oh, there's going to be monsters and they're going to be amazing. And that's really all I need in this world is Guillermo Del Toro monster movies. The trailer for Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark is amazing. I don't know if you guys have seen that. It popped up at a movie we were watching and I was like, oh yeah, I'm on board with this for sure.
I mean, I guess it'll be his first one, obviously, since Shape of Water, right? So
other than Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, sorry. He's always working. He's got so much stuff too. And there's a lot of stuff that you forget about for some reason. So I don't know why. Like I'll have it on my shelf too over there. Like, and I always forget about it. Kronos. It's a good one. Yeah. What is that? Go on, Tyler.
It's okay.
Oh, come on. It's early him. It's like, it's
is
good.
Is it only okay because it's compared to the other Guillermo del Toro movies, or is it? Oh,
no, it's just an okay movie.
It's fun.
Like if you have to qualify, well, it's his early work. Well, then it's okay. They don't have no. to. All of his shit doesn't have to be good. Kronos is okay. It is decidedly okay.
It's got Ron Perlman in it too, right? Like, it's really good. Like,
all of his movies have Ron Perlman.
Pretty much, right? They do. Not all of them. Shape of Water didn't.
Most of them.
Most of them. And by all, I mean most.
By all, I mean he's probably in the...
Well, he's in Hellboy. He's in Hellboy 2. He's in Pacific Rim. So, I mean, that's three of his movies right there, and he hasn't made it.
And Kronos, four.
And Kronos, so we got four.
So, yeah, I mean, that's like half his filmography right there.
Does he pop up in Pan's Labyrinth? Feel like
he could. Perlman. We could just say he does. He's one of the monsters. Right. You know, Tyler's like, you don't know. Maybe he's an uncredited monster.
He's not Dougie Jones, but he might be a monster.
Dougie Jones is in a lot of his movies as well. So
he's a good monster.
Right. Further movie news. Ben Affleck is to star and direct in a World War II caper, Ghost Army. So the Ghost Army of World War II is what the book is titled that it's based on. And there was also a documentary already came out called Ghost Army. So this will be the not documentary, obviously. Ben Affleck's last directorial effort was Live by Night. His weakest of his four, very clearly. And yeah, he still doesn't have an Academy Award nomination for director. That's always a sore subject there too.
Academy Award winning. He's a winner though.
Oh, he won Best Picture when he didn't even get nominated for director that year. And there was a lot of, he didn't say it. His acceptance speech is one of my favorites. I've shown that to my son to say, is because he's like, you know, you go with it. You just don't criticize. You just take what you get. Like he's trying to not say anything and the audience is laughing. But I like him as a director. I like him a lot. I feel like Gone Baby Gone was his debut and really good. I felt he did obviously fantastic with The Town and Argo. Definitely critically praised, you know, won Best Picture at the Academy Awards. So I'd say it did something right. And yeah, Live by Night was weak. It was weak. The book's really good. I'm reading the sequel right now. But I feel like it was one that you could tell was just one of his, I don't want to say passion project, but it was definitely.
Is he in that one?
Yes. Him and Zoe Saldana. Cause Zoe Saldana has been in every, you want to talk about somebody who's in every movie since like the last 5 years, Zoe Saldana is probably in Pan's Labyrinth as one of the monsters. Like, that's probably where it started. She is in every movie, including this Avengers one coming up this weekend. So, but I don't know. He doesn't have a huge, huge list of directing, but I think he's good. And yeah, Live by Night's not good. It really isn't, but it has a special place for me for reasons, but I don't know. I'm interested to see it. And it's World War II. You know, this is his chance to make up for Pearl Harbor. World War II movie.
That's a bad movie.
Has anyone watched Triple Frontier? I'm just curious.
Yes. Yeah, over on Netflix.
All right.
Did you not like it?
I haven't watched it. I just the thought of like five guys in tactical gear and it's a Netflix-only movie. It just said probably not great to me.
It's Oscar Isaac obviously is fantastic in it. Because it's Oscar Isaac, but the whole opening scene is with Oscar Isaac doing this drug bust as like a, you know, freelance for hire for that specific country's government. It takes place in Brazil and around Brazil. And it's just,
you mean Colombia?
I was pretty sure it was in Brazil is where it takes place.
I mean, everything here says
they're pretty close together.
Columbia.
Well, I think, okay, so it's up on, so so my statement of in or near Brazil, Columbia.
Yeah, no, so you said in or near, and then I said, you mean Columbia, and you're like, no, I'm pretty sure it's Brazil.
So in the scene where they go to the one guy's mansion, they pull off a street road that definitely is Portuguese and Brazil. Like, it's definitely, so anyways, point being, it takes place then in both countries. He is fantastic in it, and I felt like it was one of Affleck's weakest performances I've seen in a long time. It was like almost old level of Affleck of just like mailing it in. Like, it was like, you know, a collect check. He didn't direct it. It had its positives and its negatives. It's something I'm glad I watched it, but at the same time, like, I'm never going to watch it again, or I'm not sitting. Or obviously, right after I watched it, I didn't show up on the Nerdcast saying, hey guys, you have to go watch this if we're just now having the conversation. So
I'm curious. I might sit down and watch it.
Yeah.
I wish Garrett Hedlund got more stuff. I really like him.
Right.
Yeah. I wanted there to be a Tron Legacy sequel.
God, please.
I mean, it's never going to happen, but
he's good. He's good. Like, I feel like the cast is good. It's got a good set of actors for sure. I just feel like it was a weak delivery, I guess, is the way to put it. Like, the concept's good. It's good. The problem is there's like three major points to move the movie along. And it's like, we could have just gone a different direction and the movie's done after 15 minutes, or they could have solved this way and the movie's done at 45 minutes, or they could have, it's one of those things to where it's like, they shouldn't even be in this predicament type things, you know? Like, that's where it was. Like, and not even like, oh, I'm overanalyzing, but to the point, it's like, literally, it's the decision was presented, do A or B, and they're like, well, this one seems more difficult, so it will create a larger climax for what's about to happen, so we're choosing this one. Mixed, I guess, would be.
Yeah, that mixed at best, I would say. When you brought up Tron Legacy, I mean, do you think, is that a movie? So we're getting all these amazing Disney reboots. Is that something that gets rebooted, do you think? I mean, does that story work now?
Rebooted, though?
I don't think so. I think what they did with Legacy, trying to like make it connect it to the original, worked. I don't think trying to like redo it again really works.
But I mean, does that story in that setting, is it a interesting discussion in 2020?
I 100%
compared to the 1980s.
I 100% believe it's a fantastic discussion. I 100% believe if Disney made an attempt to reboot it, they would be ham-fisted at best with it, and it would end up being not good.
I agree. Like, you could do it. You could change, you know, certain things enough to catch up with the technology of today. And that's exactly what you said. I think
you're better off just exploring those ideas in something different rather than trying to like tack it on the throw. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Disney's done all well, but I 100% believe if they tried to reboot that, they would make it, you know, bomb proof, which would mean they would play it really safe. They would ham fist the philosophy of it. The entire movie would be building up to the light cycle, like, piece that they spent $200 million on that one CGI scene. And then in my head, cannot imagine Disney making a reboot, complete restart of Tron. That's the thing, not bad, just like,
so when Tyler's right,
disappointing.
Tyler's right. And this time Tyler's right. I would agree with it totally. However, in what, 15 to 20 years, they could have had another baby. And now you follow the grandbaby that goes back in through the arcade. Like, you just, every 20 years or so, it's the new generation. Like,
I don't know. I just really wanted to see another movie with Garrett Hedlund and Olivia Wilde's character, like, back out in the real world. I thought that was going to be really fucking cool.
You had a lot of potential of where it left it, for sure. Like, because what you could do with her character and what her character was capable of and bringing her through, it opened up so many doors for both sides, not even just in the real world. Like, could the portal have gotten left open somehow, or could it, you know, I think it could have done a lot of cool stuff. That would be a great idea. Just bring the whole battle over here into the real world. That'd be interesting. Now I'm thinking Disney will never hire us to write it, though, Tyler.
Nor should they. I'm just saying.
What do you mean, nor should they? They've got money to throw away. I mean, look at how much money they're spending on the Endgame marketing budget. Did you really need to even put a dollar into that budget? Because I tell you what, you would have sold lots of tickets without a marketing budget. Nobody was like,
oh, yeah, but I forgot there was a, you're not thinking like a Disney marketer. Are they going to sell more tickets because of their marketing?
Are they going to sell more toys?
Are they going to sell more? Are they going to sell more?
I mean, yes. You could always make that argument, yes.
Yes, so they're going to market the shit out of it.
But I was actually went to Walmart today, Disney, and they were setting Disney, up the whole displays. And
I don't even know if it – I'm not even sure that it costs them anything. I'm pretty sure Disney owns every media.
That's right. You don't have to pay.
They own all the channels. They own all the websites. Like, they're just like, that's not even advertising. That's just, hey, boss called. You need to put this up. All right, cool.
Right. Yeah, it's that. It's like when you give free tickets to your own event. You're not making anything off of giving away this advertising space, but you're not losing any money at the end, right? So, all right. Well, guys, I know we are a little shorter than normal. Going to run out of here at about 50 minutes or so, so just under an hour. But just a heads up, we are near wrapping up April, and I'm excited to let you know that May is the birthing. It's the birthing of it, Tyler. No, so May is where our new podcast network really comes into full swing. We have a number of podcasts to announce, a couple more syndicated things coming over that we're excited to get to work with these new team members, as well as some new original content we've been recording, stuff like Diving Deep that we've already warned you about, with some very serious topics and some not so serious topics where Adam and I still need to record one about baseball because I'm really excited for that one. We have some other opportunities we're going to explore, maybe just a podcast of Tyler and I fighting against each other and arguing about stuff. You guys said you loved it here on the Nerdcast, so we might as well make a whole podcast out of it, right? Anyways, we've got a lot of content for you to check out. Just keep checking out wherever you find us, and it'll all be coming through that same channel. So if it's on the Project Nerd Productions or Project Nerd Podcast channel over on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and the many other places like Podbean, and of course, ProjectNerd.com, you'll find them all, at least the in-house ones, including, you know, Meeple Skills, More I'm Not Famous, and so much more. All right. So I've let us out of here with that. And as just a reminder, it's episode 191 brought to you by Ocon Expo, oconexpo.com, to get those tickets June 28th, 29th, and 30th. But I will let Tyler and Adam speak some final words before we head out of here this week. Adam, you want to get us started?
Yeah, always. Oh, no, I forgot.
You don't want to get us started.
Way to ruin it, Iggy. No, you guys, it's a gorgeous weekend. I'm sure you're watching Endgame. Continue to do that. In between your viewings of Endgame, string up a hammock. Hang out outside for a little bit. Enjoy the not unbelievably instantly sweating weather that we're getting right now. I hate the heat, you guys. I honestly do. And so enjoy a little time outside before it gets god-awful and you only want to spend time inside.
Right. All right, Tyler, what you got for us and some final thoughts?
Same thing. Weather has been awesome. As we all know, that spring is getting shorter and shorter. So get out there before it becomes over 100 degrees. Otherwise, there's a lot of like early, way too early stuff out there right now popping. First, like Joss Whedon's new TV show, HBO's new sci-fi show with Hugh Laurie, some photos from It Chapter 2 look really amazing. But if you also go online, one thing I really got some teases from the new Dark Tower TV series. But one thing is there is some little bits and pieces that have been released this week about HBO's Watchmen TV show. So you should probably look into that.
I will look into that for sure. I will also be out this weekend, guys. I'm going to go up to the mountains. There's this thing called Hanging Lake that I'm super excited for, and Spouting Rock. It's a lake that was on the side of the mountain and like a shift, and it caused it to drop, but it all stayed like in place. So it looks like the lake's just hanging off the side of the mountain. So super cool. And people aren't allowed to swim in it or anything.
I was going
to
say, that doesn't sound safe at all.
No, it's been there for a long time and nobody's allowed to swim in it or anything. Probably for that reason, but also because it's obviously they want to keep it clean and beautiful looking. It's starting in May, especially during the summer. It's a huge tourist attraction, but a lot of people don't know if you continue hiking up where that lake shifted down from, there's Spouting Rock. So where the spring is coming out from under, you know, the ground inside the mountain, it's now spouting up and then creates the waterfall into that. So I'm excited to go check that out, get away from these computers. So yeah, and we will all be seeing Endgame. So yeah, definitely next week, be prepared. If you haven't seen Endgame, we'll try our best to warn you at the beginning of next week's podcast, but be ready. Something's going to be talked about at some point for sure. Other than that, again, check out all the other Project Nerd podcasts. Head on over to projectnerd.com for a lot of that information Tyler was talking about. Geek news, all kinds of fun stuff, of course. We got many reviews and everything else rolling out. So until episode 192, which hopefully will be next week. See ya.
Hey, Pro Nerds, thanks for listening to the podcast. If you like the Nerdcast and other amazing Project Nerd podcasts, please go give us a subscription, a like, a review, wherever you find us, as we need your love and support to continue making awesome content. Next week, we'll be back with another great episode of the Nerdcast, as well as other original Project Nerd podcasts.